conditions, such as terrifying nocturnal hallucinations, sleep paralysis, acting out of their dreams, or debilitating insomnia. The array of activities in sleep reflects the spectrum of human behaviour in our waking lives. Sometimes these medical problems have a biological explanation, at other times a psychological one. And the focus of the clinical work that I and my colleagues do is to unravel the causes for their sleep disorders and attempt to find a treatment or cure. For the past few years, I've seen hundreds of patients per year with sleep disorders, causing insomnia, profound excessive daytime sleepiness, or bizarre and frightening experiences at night. My path to this work has been accidental. In keeping with most doctors of my generation, my exposure to the world of sleep during my medical degree was pretty much non-existent. I cannot recall a single moment of teaching that focused on sleep until well into my clinical training as a neurologist, almost a decade after I graduated. It was only by chance, when I opted for an intercalated degree in neuroscience as a 19-year-old, that I was asked to write an essay on the function of sleep. As a naive but intellectually curious teenager, I had assumed, like most people, that the function of sleep was to stop you feeling sleepy, and that assumption was borne out by personal experience. I went to bed when sleepy, and when I woke up, that sleepiness had left me. However, in preparation for that essay, I came across a paper co-authored by Francis Crick, one of the discoverers of the structure of DNA. Crick had in later life become increasingly fascinated by consciousness and neuroscience, in part driven by a sabbatical at the Salk Institute in San Diego, a world-leading centre in neuroscience research. In that paper, Crick and his colleagues speculated as to the function of dreaming, which at that time was thought to exclusively happen during a stage of sleep known as rapid eye movement sleep, or REM sleep. They argued that the function of dreaming, rather than representing a Freudian royal road to the unconscious, was a form of housekeeping for the brain. Dreaming, they postulated, acts to prune out connections between cells in the brain that have developed during the day, and constitutes a type of reverse learning to get rid of useless information. The validity of this hypothesis remains controversial, but reading this paper was a lightbulb moment for an ignorant yet interested medical student. The realisation that sleep not only had a purpose other than making you feel less sleepy, but was also a complex set of brain states, not simply a state of unconsciousness between going to bed and waking up, had a profound effect. It sparked my interest in sleep and its disorders, and has led me into this fascinating and often bizarre clinical realm of sleep medicine. In this twilight world, glitches in the human brain result in striking and poorly understood conditions. All the more so as, in contrast to chest pain, headaches, skin rashes, or more usual medical symptoms, these problems often arise without any awareness, at a time when people's brains and minds are detached from their internal and external world. In what follows, I'll introduce you to some of my patients who've been willing to share their stories. The tales of these individuals are dramatic, terrifying, illuminating, poignant, and sometimes amusing. You will see how their disorders affect the lives of those around them, their relationships with partners and children, as well as their own. So why is it that I'm writing about these patients? And more importantly, why should you listen to them? Many of the stories that follow are about patients with extreme sleep disorders, at the very limits of the spectrum of human experience. And it is by studying these extremes that we learn about the less severe end of the spectrum. By understanding how these patients are affected by their sleep disorders, we come to know a little about how we ourselves are affected by our sleep. Many of these conditions are not rare either. Chronic insomnia affects 1 in 10 adults, sleep apnea about 1 in 15, and restless leg syndrome about 1 in 20. It is almost certain that anyone listening to this book will either suffer from one or more of these disorders themselves or know someone close to them who does. Doctors love stories. We love telling them and we love hearing them. We teach, learn and entertain each other with stories. In medical parlance, what a patient tells you in their own words is the history, the story of their problem. As medical students and junior doctors, we acquire the skills to extract this history. Our medical journals and conferences are full of case histories, and it is precisely through the sharing of these stories that we circulate expertise and further our knowledge base.